Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. A loving Christmas greetings to all our listeners, brothers and sisters, on the holy occasion of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Every member of the team at Radio Sai joins me in wishing you divine blessings, grace and guidance as we celebrate this sacred festival. Welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and on the sound console is audio engineer Brother Ganesh. It happens to be yet another picture-perfect Thursday morning here in the ashram where the time right now is exactly 9:41 a.m. And today is the 26th of December 2013. Current temperature in the Divine Valley, minimum 16 Celsius, maximum 30 degrees. Clear skies, crisp breeze make for an ideal holiday season for the thousands and thousands who have come here from all over the world. People from North America, Eastern Europe and the Baltics and those from North and Northeast India and the Aussies, of course, are particularly seen in large numbers here this winter. And if I may say so, looking at their faces, it seems they are enjoying the pleasing ambience of Prashanti Nilayam and its comfortable weather. Thank you, dearest Bhagwan, for carving this slice of heaven for us. As Dorothy says in The Wizard of Oz, there is no place like home. And to that, may I add, there is no home like Prashanti Nilayam for us Swami's children. Coming up on Morning Glory today, an update on Christmas 2013 in Prashanti Nilayam. A brand new episode of your favorite show, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Today we will begin our conversation with Mr. Ashwin Venkateshwaran, a Sai student. And I will treat you to some more melodies from our latest Sai Blossom products. But first, here's what's making news at this hour in Prashanti Nilayam. Christmas 2013 began with hundreds of singers and musicians from nearly 40 countries presenting the Christmas Eve concert in the Sai Kulwant Hall on December 24, 2013. That program began with the auspicious lighting of the Christmas candle mounted in front of the Divine Mahasamadhi. Soon after, the choristers burst into spells of singing following the finger baton instructions of the conductor, Miss Gisela Sebastian of Germany. They sang 18 unique hymns. The choristers were accompanied by seasoned musicians from various countries who had been perfecting their skills for the past 10 days. Believe it or not, dear listeners, the Christmas Eve concert took off with Ganesha Pancharatna Stotram in lovely foreign voices. Then the choir continued with, "How great, and hark the herald, God gave me a song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord's Prayer, my shepherd, Sai you are, silent night, I beg your pardon, someday at Christmas, Lord, make us carry the light, blessed the Lord, O dearest Lord Sai, Ave Maria and Holy Night. Sati Sai, you're my life." And finally, to end with, "May all be happy." Now, this final song was really special. I'll tell you why. It had an insertion of a musical piece and a divine discourse by Baba, with Baba assuring his overseas children of his eternal blessings. The song insertion was, "Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina" in the divine voice. What a treat it was. Here, dear listeners, then, is a sampling of the evening's program, especially for Morning Glory listeners.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Beloved Bhagavan, we, the International Christmas Choir, offer our humble pranams at your divine lotus feet. Bhagavan, our hearts are full of gratitude and love for you. This offering is a garland of Christmas carols, devotional songs, and prayers. Jai Sai Ram.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinam. Sarve bhavantu sukhinam. Sarve sukhinam tu bharvam. Sarve sukhinam tu ebhyo. Bhagwan blesses you such that by the time you return, go back home, you will be happy, peaceful, blissful, healthy.
Happy, may all be happy, may all be happy. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
May all be healthy, may all be happy, peaceful and blissful. Om Sai Ram. Amen. Sai Ram, dear listeners, you're tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is 10:14 a.m. Today is the 26th of December, 2013. You just heard a sampling of the Christmas Eve program that was presented in the Sai Kulwant Hall just day before yesterday. The same joyful mood continued with the celebrations on the big day. Christmas at Prashanthi, as you know, is always unique, with less of pomp and more of devotion. The Australian devotees began at the daybreak with some soulful carol singing. Then the morning prayers began with Rudram chanting. This was followed by violinists from Swami's school who played melodious Christmas tunes, concluding with Love is My Form. Next was the Sai University's brass band, lifting the spirits with the fast-paced beats of percussion, again playing special Christmas numbers. It was then the turn of the students, who with the sprinkling of Christmas hymns and stories, made the morning most memorable. Baba's talented, creative and knowledgeable students, serenading the mighty Heavenly Father and His chosen Son, depicted the life of Jesus through songs and commentary, beginning with His birth, traversing through the epochal events in Jesus' life, His teachings and His ultimate sacrifice. The Sai Kulwant Hall was packed, and excitement ran high when twin Santas started off in twin directions to deliver chocolates, with jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way playing in the background. And what can I say about the evening program of Christmas 2013? Baba's children from Region 8, Southern California, USA, presented a drama, The Fourth Wise Man. It was based on Henry Van Dyke's story, The Other Wise Man. The presentation brought out wonderful messages in an enjoyable manner and was so very well received by the Global Sai family that had gathered here for this holiday season. The other highlight of the evening were the deeply touching and really very intensely devotional speeches by Ms. Rita Danielle of the U.S. and Mr. Tom Lahoy from Australia. All in all, this Christmas we truly experienced great joy in remembering the Son of God, His Gospel and His beloved Father, our Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. The icing on the cake was Bhagwan's divine discourse wherein, I beg your pardon, he reminded us that man is a combination of morality, righteousness and spirituality. Man without truth and righteousness is no man. And man without love is no man, Baba said. In his divine discourse, Bhagwan Baba stressed on the relationship between the individual, society, nature and God. Swami concluded his divine discourse with the bhajan, Hari bhajan bina sukha shanti nahi. The three-day Christmas celebrations in Prashanthi Nilayam will culminate later today with the International Children's Choir, and are we looking forward to it. As you can imagine, the ashram is abuzz with joy and happiness. It really is one place where the spirit of Christmas is still pure and organic and joyful without any commercial or political angle to it. Dear listeners, you can catch the spirit of Christmas yourself, that is Christmas 2013 at Prashanthi, by going to our website radiosai.org or visiting our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/radiosai. Now, may I remind our listeners, you don't have to be a Facebook user to use our page. You don't have to have a Facebook account. Just go to facebook.com/radiosai one word and give it a few seconds to populate. The page opens up and then it populates below, and you can scroll down and look at some very lovely pictures of this unique event which is celebrated here in Prashanthi like no place else in the world. Now, up next on Morning Glory, right here, right now, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Ashwin Venkateshwaran in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti. Over now to part one of this conversation with Ashwin Venkateshwaran.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And our guest today is Ashwin Venkateshwaran, who has had the privilege of being in Bhagwan's educational institutions right from his primary school days. In fact, he joined Baba's Ooty School in 1987. Incidentally, Swami's Ooty School is the first primary school set up by Bhagwan way back in 1979, and once Bhagwan closed this institution in 1991 and merged it with the primary school in Prashantinilam, Ashwin too moved to Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashantinilam, where he completed his 10th and 12th grade. After this, he moved on to the Prashantinilam campus of Bhagwan's University for his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in bioscience. In fact, he won a gold medal for academic excellence in this course. Later on, he pursued his master's in biosciences, MSc. And once he completed this in 2000, Bhagwan graciously blessed him to work in his then upcoming super speciality hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. In fact, the hospital had not yet started then. Swami sent Ashwin and another brother to the United States to get trained in echocardiography. And by the time the hospital was inaugurated in January 2001, Ashwin was back from the US and joined Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Bangalore. And since then, till date, he continues to happily serve in this chapter of Bhagwan's healthcare mission in Bangalore. And what is really interesting is recently, that is in September 2013, Ashwin received the Young Investigator Award during the Echo India Meet held in Bangalore. This indeed is a very commendable achievement, because in the 19-year history of this award, the first time this was conferred on someone who is medically not a physician. So this was tremendous recognition of his talent in echocardiography at the national level, but it did not stop there. After this, just a couple of days ago, now in October 2013, Ashwin again won a similar award, but this time at the international level, at the World Echo Summit, or the World Summit of Echocardiology, which was held in New Delhi between October 25th and 27th, 2013, he was given the Clinical Research Award for Best Research and Presentation in this area of echocardiography. I must mention here that his was the only Indian nomination for this title, and by Swami's grace, in spite of so much competition, he emerged triumphant. And this not only added another feather to his cap, but more importantly, it brought a lot of glory to Bhagwan's hospital. And he was able to use such prestigious platforms to disseminate, at least to some extent, the philosophy of Sai healthcare as practiced in Bhagwan's hospitals. In the midst of all this and seeing 200-300 patients every day in the cardiology outpatient department, Ashwin is also pursuing his doctoral research from Karolinska Institute, Sweden, which easily is one of the top medical universities globally. And before we begin this conversation, I must also add that as a student in Baba's school and Baba's university, Ashwin had innumerable opportunities of divine interaction with Bhagwan. Gifted with a lovely voice, he sang bhajans in front of Swami and continues to be part of the Prashanti Bhajan group even now. He is also a good speaker, artist, dramatist, writer, and above all, a very soft-spoken and enduring personality. So with great pleasure, I welcome you, Brother Ashwin, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Bishu. Thank you for having me.
So tell us more about these awards. In September, you received this award at the national level, and just one more month, in October, you received this award at the international level. So how does it feel? What does it mean to you? And what does it mean for Bhagwan's hospital?
Well, to be honest, I don't think it was me. Looking back, I still unable to come to grips with the fact that these awards actually came my way, and I'm quite sure it was Swami who spoke through me on both these occasions. To me personally, this is a way by which I could say thank you to Bhagwan, because I know that many years I've been a student and then chosen to work at the hospital. I know that a lot was expected from us as a student body, and I still remember when I first joined the hospital, when I was sent for training, there was a lot of amusement. The doctors were trying to train people who had no clue about medicine to doing echocardiography, which is a very specialized area in non-invasive cardiology. And Bhagwan had such faith that we would be able to learn quickly and come back and serve. And I think looking back sort of goes to show that for God's grace to really flow, there has to be human effort as well. And a lot of effort came from my side and my friend's side, the two of us who were chosen for this field. To me personally, this, after so many years of working in the department and actually being able to get an award that generally goes to physicians, it's just my way of saying thank you to Swami for having that faith and having the ability. There were many points of time in the past when I questioned my own ability, particularly in this field. And the episode that would come to me again and again would be the episode from the Ramayana, where when Lord Hanuman was asked to jump across the ocean and there were people who questioned his ability to do so, he just said, "The same Lord Ram who has asked me to do it will give me the strength to do it." And not that I'm anywhere close to where Lord Hanuman was, but I think in a very small way to actually move into an area which is really not my forte and actually do well with Swami's grace is just his blessing. I think to me personally, I've always looked at Swami as a mother and a father first and then as a God. And that's because I sort of grew up as a child around him, ran around at different points, came to him each time I had a problem. And so he was always a parent to me first. And I mean, there's also a part of me that really misses him very much physically. And I'm sure you and many others would relate to this because he is everywhere. He's definitely with us. We feel him a lot. But there is a part of you that just misses seeing him physically and being able to go to him. And I think what I miss most is that when I got this award, I could only pray to him in my heart and be grateful and not really walk up to him in the darshan line and show it to him and say, "My dearest Mother Sai, this is what I've done for you." So personally, yes, it's a way of my saying thank you to him. And to the institution, I think it sort of opens up a whole new vista for Swami's medical institutions, because for a long, long time we've been focused on offering the best possible care to as many people as possible. And I think it's time now to let the world know that Swami's hospital is not just about wonderful equipment, a great set of staff and lots of patients that are receiving care. I think it's also to tell the world that we are comparable to the best institutions in the world. And our work shows that. At the end of the day, it's not just the number of patients that you've seen, but it's also the kind of work that is being presented in these larger academic medical forums.
So it's really a very, very useful visibility of the hospital's work.
I think so. I know that Bhagwan would never want us to advertise what we do. I've been around him when he has openly said that his biggest advertisement is the young mother that goes out smiling to the world, telling the world that she is now going to be able to live many, many more years to serve her husband and her children. To him, advertisement was always about seeing a poor patient go out smiling, knowing that he is going to be around for a long, long time. But I think there's a very thin line between advertising what you do and making yourself more visible. And if we truly believe that Swami was a mother to us, a father to us, and he has, in a sense, left with us his work to perform, it's our duty to take this forward. And as children, we would have new ideas. As children, we would have maybe a little, slightly more, if I could use the word, progressive ways of presenting Swami to the world. And so this is one way. This is one way to really present Swami to the world. But this world here is a world of rational medical doctors. And so to them it is, the Satya Sai Hospital is about excellent care, high quality care. It's also about care that is comparable to the very best that one can offer. And all this is being given totally free of cost to patients.
And I think one positive fallout of this visibility will be the acceptance of the tenets of the Sai healthcare, the principles of Sai philosophy of healthcare.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that there is so much need for that in today's medical scenario?
Absolutely. You would be surprised at the number of doctors, very senior people from the All India Institute, from the premier institutes in our country. During this forum, there were so many of them who came to say, you know, this is wonderful. How is this possible to be able to give such quality care to so many people and do such quality work? It's something which even the premier institutions in the country are not always able to do. And are you actually doing all this completely free of charge? It surprises you.
People still
don't know.
Comprehend that.
It surprises you. And I'm sure a lot of people do know what we do, but I do know that a large group would know of Swami's humanitarian work. They would know of Swami's hospital, but they really do not know the extent of the care that's being given. And opportunities such as these are opportunities to just show the world that this is what we do. And it's received with almost a sense of awe. I don't think people believe that such a thing is possible. And a lot of appreciation and recognition.
So I think attending all these prestigious forums, the World Echo Summit at the national level, must have been for you also very, very revelatory at times.
Oh yes, I think I lack self-confidence. But to me, it's never been, you know, I know that I will not be able to do it, but I know that Swami will be able to do it. So each time I step into these larger forums and I see all these big physicians, doctors, you know, and each one of them carries a whole host of experience and long-standing authority and credibility with them. So I'm always wondering, I mean, where are we? You know, we are very small people in the larger scheme of things. So I think to me personally, it's a revelation to know if you have the firm faith that it's not about you, but if you can, in a sense, keep yourself hollow and allow the grace of Swami to flow through you, big things can happen even from small instruments. So definitely in that sense, it was a huge revelation.
It's really very heartening. Did you ever think when you were doing your master's in biosciences that you will actually be so closely associated and directly working for Bhagwan's healthcare mission?
No, I don't think I did. I always wanted to be a part of Swami's work, but I never knew what capacity that would be. You know, these days I keep hearing about students in their college who are talking about their career plans, and
yes,
it sort of strikes me as amusing that when we were in college, we really didn't have a career plan.
Yeah.
We never thought about what we would do after our BSc was over or after our MSc was over. But I think we all did our best to excel at what we did. So
yes,
it was, you know, let's do the best that we can, given this position, and let's offer this to Swami, to tell Swami, Swami, we love you deeply, and this is the only way we can show it to you. So if you do well in your college, you go to Swami to say, Swami, I love you deeply, and to show you that I love you, I stood first in class.
Yes.
But it was never about, I want to stand first in class so that I can do something bigger after this.
Yes.
And I think that holds true as much to me as it does to you, Bishu, and most of my brothers who are continuing to work in Swami's organization.
Yes.
I actually remember a very amusing anecdote from when I was much younger in my school, apparently. And this was reminded to me by a friend I spoke to recently. He had studied with me right from my OT days. And apparently in my first year in the OT school, I was so homesick that when the teacher asked in class if any of us were not planning to return the next year, I was the first person to shoot up my arm
and
say, I'm not going to come back next year. Why? I'm so homesick. You know, I miss my parents. I miss the food that mom would make, etc., etc. And I'm not going to come back. And this boy very amusingly said, you know, Ashwin, Shirdi Sai Baba often would talk about being, you know, a puppet on a string.
Yes.
And he would say that
the strings are in his hand.
I know. And I never knew that. The truth is, I never knew that. But now looking back, after so many years of being physically around him and now, of course, doing his work, all I can say with great confidence is no decisions were made by me. And I'm just grateful to him that no decisions have gone wrong.
Yes.
And
the invisible wire puller. He was always,
always,
he is and he was always at work guiding the destiny of our lives. So you were mentioning that when you were in OT, you missed your parents, but earlier you said how Swami became your parent. You know, you related to Swami as your mother, father, everything. So how did this transition happen?
I don't think I was ready for a hostel when I was put into Swami's hostel. There was always a part of me that, for one, my parents did not stay in the country at that time. And each time I would have to communicate with them, I had to write an aerogram which would take a month to get to them and a month for the reply to come. So there was very little communication in that sense. And those were the days when even telecommunication wasn't that easy and convenient in our country. So I remember complaining to my mother and father when they put me into the school, saying, you know, Mom and Dad, I'm going to miss you so much. I mean, how am I going to adjust? What am I going to do? And at that time, my mom, you know, held me very close to her and said, you will always have Mom with you. But when I step away, Swami will be here. So you will always have Mom with you. And whenever you need anything, never hesitate to ask. As much as you've come to me each time you needed, say, a pencil box for school, go to Swami whenever you feel you don't have something or you want something. Do it in your heart. Do it with great love. Believe that you will always be a child of Swami. And to me, at that time, Swami was a photograph in my altar. And he was a person we would worship. So to really move from there, to really sort of have him step down from the altar and actually get closer to him was something I never thought that was possible. To me, you know, God was meant to be in the altar and you worshipped him as he should be. But to have him actually step down and say, I want to make you my mom and will you take good care of me, was really, to me, a whole new journey. I vividly recall how early on, you know, it was very cold both in Ooty and in places around Ooty. And I remember quite vividly how, but this actually happened a few years later in Kodaikanal, I was having an extremely bad throat.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's words came back to me saying that when you have a problem, you go to Swami and ask him. This particular episode sort of taught me a lot. And I'm sure there are lessons in it for everyone who's listening. So I'd love to share this episode. So we were in a cold environment. I had caught a cold, slight fever and a bad cough. And I remember coughing my head off at many of these smaller gatherings when we were sitting around Swami. And Swami noticed that. And along with me, a few other boys also had caught a bad cough and cold. And during the first few days, Swami would make sure that, you know, we'd eat the right food and not have food which will aggravate our cough and cold. But nothing seemed to help. And our cough persisted. And it was disturbing a lot of people, because each time Swami would call all of us around him to give a talk, here we would be coughing and coughing and coughing. Every few lines Swami would say, we felt very upset about it. I'm sure a lot of people around us wondered why we were there. And Swami would just very compassionately look at us. I mean, we knew he would possibly look over us when these things happened. Third day into the stay, and this cough had not abated, Swami walked out of his room one morning. He looked at the three of us, called us closer to him and said, I'm going to give you something and this will help you. And he waved his hand and created three tiny white tablets.
Tablets?
You know, my first reaction was, I mean, I would have expected Swami to create Vibhuti and give it to me to cure me of my cough.
I know.
To have him give a little tablet. And, you know, my friend was sitting beside me. Swami, of course, didn't give us much time. He said, sort of pop the tablet in and take a little water and you'll be all right. My friend who was sitting beside me, he happened to be more inquisitive than I was. And he actually looked very closely at the tablet to see which company did this come from.
Oh, my God.
Which company provided the divine with his stock of, you know, drugs from a pharmacy. And he was later sharing with me, as sometimes you'd notice the name of a particular company. And apparently on his tablet were the words D-R-S-A-I. Dr. Sai.
Wow.
Which he cherished very much. But why I wanted to share this experience with you is, I'm sure all of our listeners are expecting me to say, I popped the pill in and I was fine. But I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, there I was, still coughing my head off.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this moment very fondly because it taught me a lot. And I'll come to that as we talk about this incident. It's been 5 days now. I had a bad cough and cold. Nothing seemed to work. And here I was wondering, Swami, you actually gave me medicine. And even that didn't seem to work. So what is going to help me? Swami came out for darshan that morning. And as it is for most boys who are with him during such times, we were sitting very close to the stairway that took him down from the top floor to the bottom where all the devotees were waiting. And I still remember I was sort of sitting right at the end of the stairway, and as he came towards me, here I was coughing, and he looked at me with so much of compassion. And as he passed me, he looked back and coughed. He looked at me and said just two words, "Your cough," and moved on. I never ever realized that I did not cough once that whole day. And it was only in the evening that a friend of mine said, "Ashwin, do you realize you didn't cough through Swami's whole discourse today?" And then it dawned on me that from the time Swami looked and said, "Your cough," it all vanished. Now, you know, why I want to share this with you all is, see, very often in our lives, when we ask Him, there are many ways in which He sort of gives to us. He tries to satiate our need. He takes care of our unfulfilled desires. He comes to our rescue. But never ever stop until He gives Himself to you. It's never about what He gives. It's not about the many things that come our way. You know, we do badly in a career, we ask Him for a career shift and He gives us a promotion. We do badly in school, we look to Him and say, "Swami, help me with my exam," and He gets us through in flying colors. But at the end of the road, I think the only thing that matters is to look at Him and say, "Swami, you know, all this is fine. You know, you might have waved, created Vibhuti and given it to me. You might have created medicines and given it. But nothing really worked until I said, 'Swami, it's only about you.'" And I think that I hold that moment very close to me, because not just did it show me never to ask Swami for things, but it also showed me that Swami was a person who was willing to take upon Himself suffering to ensure that we did not suffer.
And I think there are only very few moments when Swami has actually revealed when He took upon Himself the pains of so many. You know, we used to see Swami physically at many times in so much of discomfort and all that. And I think the moments when He has revealed what He was doing are so few in number. For every instance that we know, there are millions that we do not know.
It's true.
And when He was saying, you know, "I'm just for you, this body is just for you," it was literally that.
Right. But, you know, I think He does it in very beautiful ways and sometimes in very indirect ways. You know, I am reminded of another moment where we were very fond of making small items that Swami might enjoy. And I know that at one time we had the feeling that Swami enjoyed pakodas.
Okay.
And there was an occasion where we could actually sit around Him, and we had actually made a little batch of pakodas for Swami. And it was made with a lot of love and a lot of prayer and all of that. The joy of actually having to make something for the Lord was a whole journey in itself. But I remember when that was offered to Swami, and again, you know, these are all moments which I went through when I was very young, and they stay very deep in your heart because you were very impressionable at that time. He picked up the pakoda which was on the top, he popped it into his mouth, and almost immediately we knew something was going wrong. Because all of a sudden, Swami's face, you know, had turned a little red, his eyes were watering slightly, and he looked at us and said, "There was a chili in that pakoda."
Oh.
I mean, just imagine, how would we feel? You actually have a whole batch of pakodas, and of all the pakodas that Swami decides to pick up, it's the one which has the chili in it. And even there, through that moment of discomfort, through that moment of actually having that chili in his mouth, Swami looks to us and says, "Look at that. I took the pakoda with the chili in it, and I'm giving you all the good pakodas."
Oh.
In your life also, remember that if you give yourself to me, I will take all that is spicy, I will take all that you cannot handle, I will take all that is too hot for you to handle, but I will give you all that is good. So in remarkable ways, it just comes to you again and again that if you can love Him and trust Him completely, He would just take over your life and run your life, you know, in a perfect manner.
And I think you have experienced that in so many ways. all through, because I have seen how you would be so involved in various extracurricular activities, especially making cards for Swami in the school days. And I think every time you made a card for Swami, it was an experience by itself.
It always is. And you've been there. A lot of my friends, I know how we would work many, many nights to try and get this perfect offering to Him. Like all things, it was about bringing to the Lord what was perfect. And by perfect, we didn't have fancy equipment with us. We did not have a great amount of artistic talent. But it was about working together as a group. Whenever it came to making a card for Swami, it was about how can we make something for Him that would have Him look and smile. How do you get that single smile from Swami? And you'd be amazed at the number of ways and means by which these cards really, in a sense, came through us. Yes. I wouldn't even say came from us.
The way the ideas came, the way the inspirations came, and the way it finally shaped up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the way Swami responded.
I know. I think Swami's response was most fulfilling. We worked, whenever we had festivals to take cards to Him, most often the day was filled with study and a lot of other activities, and we'd spend a lot of time after study and spend sometimes nights together just putting our heads on what is it that Swami would love to see, what is it that would bring Him a smile, what can we do differently this time. And each time there was an occasion to, whether it was putting together art, whether it was choosing the right words to show Him that we loved Him, whether it was making the card very interactive.
Yes.
Of sorts. So you have Swami push a button and something flips open, pull a string and something happens. It was all about doing that for Swami. And looking back, I sometimes wonder, whenever Swami would receive these cards, it was almost as though He looked through the cards.
Yes.
To the feeling that generated them.
Yes.
I mean, when I look at these cards now, I would always wonder, I mean, they were nothing.
Yeah.
They were just an offering of love. It was like a kindergarten kid who just learned how to write. And so he,
yes,
with all his love, he would scribble down the alphabet and bring it to his mother. And his mother would say, "You are so bright. You are so brilliant." So, yeah, they're very sweet memories.
Yes, absolutely. I want you to go back to your Uti days, Ashwin, because that is one opportunity that you had, which not many students had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staying with Swami in Uti, in that beautiful hill station. And Swami used to visit Uti almost every year when the school was in operation there. What are your memories of being with Swami in Uti?
Sort of goes back many, many years, but still very evergreen memories. I'd like to share memories, not just my memories, but also memories of friends of mine whom we sort of studied together. We were contemporaries, and I know for one that Uti was a very special school. I've always felt that way. It was much smaller than most of Swami's schools and colleges, and it was also tucked away into the hillside. To paint a picture for you, Uti was at one time, the building was actually the summer resort of Lord Dalhousie, and so it had a very English flavor to it. There were large wooden floors, which were earlier dancing halls, and you had these glass rooms and enclosures and wood everywhere, and it sort of brings back a very quaint countryside, yet a very royal setting. And each time Swami would come, I think what would bring joy to most people was, it was so cut away from the maddening crowd. This was a single school which was on top of a hill, and this area was known as Nandanavanam. And there was only one winding road which would sort of come up to the school. The school had two complexes when I studied there. There was the main school, which were where most of our classes were, and which also had Swami's residence. And there was the annexure school, which was the hostel, and where we stayed when we were not studying. And I remember how each time a car would come winding up that road, if it was a car that was red, and if it was a car that we thought was bigger than other cars, there would be a raging fire in the hostel. All the kids would go running around saying, "Swami is coming to school, Swami is coming to school." And it could be any time of the year, really. But there was always this anticipation that Swami would come. And I think deep in our hearts, nothing was more precious than having Swami come to the school, we could never take that for granted. You know, we had an opportunity to actually be with Swami just once in a year. And it was so precious because during that period when Swami was with us, it was almost as though, you know, as I mentioned earlier, He was a mother to us. He would look after every smallest need. I remember a friend of mine who was very upset because he wasn't receiving a particular dish which his mother used to make.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, when Swami walks around children, he has this habit of asking, "What do you want?" And this child, Swami stopped before him and asked, "What do you want, my boy?" And the boy got up and said, "Swami, I am not getting this particular curry which my mom makes so well."
Oh my God.
I mean, if you think about this, the Lord of the universe walking among these tiny tots with such love and compassion, he turns around, gets the mess in charge over and requests him to make this dish for all the children the next day. I mean, why should he? Why should he look at the smallest and minutest of details of each of these children? Who are we? As Swami would often say, the world is such a huge place. And where is India in the largest scope of things? We're a small country. And where is Andhra Pradesh in India? Where is Puttaparthi in Andhra Pradesh? And where are you? You are a tiny speck in the largest scheme of things. And for Swami to actually go to the extent of calling the mess in charge and saying, "This little child of mine is not getting this dish which his mother would make. I would like you to make it," goes to show how much of a sense of detail and affection he had and continues to have for all of us. If I can go on with these moments spent around him, I know for one that, as Swami said, when I am among children, I'm a child.
Yes.
And that was something which would come to us again and again, because I've known him to walk out of his room, come walk into the classrooms in which we sat, sit at the back, listen to what the teacher said, ask questions. We were all taught that each time Bhagwan would walk into the classroom, we were to fold our hands, stand up and say, "Pranams, Bhagwan." But Swami would make such quick and unscheduled visits that I've known many classes to get up and say, "Sai Ram, Swami," because it just didn't occur to them. I mean, you know, Swami just walks in and with such love and compassion, he would look into the smallest of our needs.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. You just heard part one of our Fleeting Moments interview with Mr. Ashwin Venkateshwaran. Please stay tuned to part two right here on Morning Glory, same time, same day next week. Meanwhile, dear listeners, your feedback really does mean the world to us, and we ask you to keep sending your thoughts on this program, on Morning Glory in general, and on any other programs on Radio Sai. As always, you can email us at listener@radiosai.org. And by the way, just so you know, you can catch nearly 200 such interviews with Baba students at radiosai.org/Sai Students. Sai Students, one single word, plural. Just select any interviews of your choice, download them for free, as with all Radio Sai offerings, and enjoy listening to them at your leisure. One suggestion that I'd like to share with you is to download them and enjoy listening during long road trips. This is a recurring feedback we keep getting from our listeners, how pleasantly the time goes when they are traveling with Radio Sai interviews playing in the background. Even family road trips go wonderfully with Radio Sai programs for company. I hope you will try out the suggestion for your next trip. Now moving along, dear listeners, just like last week, I have some divine music to play for you from two wonderful new Sai Blossom albums we have just released. Here are then a few songs from Nada Brahman 7 and Dana Gillespie's Mata Mata. Have a listen, please.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sai Ram, thank you for staying with us on Morning Glory on December the 26th, 2013. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios here in Prashanthi Nilayam, India. You are tuned to Morning Glory and you just heard select numbers from two of our recently released Sai Blossom products, namely Mata Mata and Nada Brahman 7. Dear brothers and sisters, isn't this a perfect time to nurture your soul by tuning into these new Sai Blossom CDs? That is Mata Mata by Dana Gillespie and Nada Brahman 7 sung by the best singers in the Mandir. These products also make ideal gifts. So you can find out more about them at our website saiblossom.org. Sai Blossom is one word, SaiBlossom.org. And you will also be able to locate Sai Blossom offerings at the Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Trust's website, that is SSSBPT, and at Amazon.com, as well as at Amazon UK. And if you happen to be visiting Prashanthi Nilayam, just walk into our Sai Blossom store located outside our office. If you have friends or family visiting Prashanthi, you can have them pick these CDs for you. With that, I guess it's almost time for me to sign off, but I won't do that today. Instead of bidding you goodbye, I'm going to surprise you by continuing with Service Love in Action. That is because my colleague, Brother Raghu, is away this week, so I'm pleasantly honored to fill in for him.